This is Mike Flynn of the Impact Entrepreneur Show, and on today's episode with Jonathan, we are going to talk about enjoying moments where time stops, the peak performance framework, and the importance of investing in your relationships.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Mike Flynn. He is a serial entrepreneur and second-generation financial advisor. Over the course of his professional career, Flynn has discovered that the greatest crisis people face today is not a financial one. Rather, it is a lack of purpose. Today, in addition to running his financial advisory practice and highly rated podcast called The Impact Entrepreneur Show, Flynn also helps coach college students, entrepreneurs, and corporate executives on how to get the most out of themselves and their people. Mike, how is your day going?
My day is going great so far. You know, I just going to tell a quick story. There's a book that I read a long time ago that changed my life called Aspire, Discovering Your Life's Purpose Through the Power of Words. And I had been in communication with the author of that book for a long time, and we tried to set up interviews and such, but it just never worked out. And so today I was looking at the book. I always keep that book on my nightstand, and I was looking at that book, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna shoot him a text and just see if a space is available today. And what's the worst he's gonna say? No, right? And so I shot him a text. I said, hey, this is a long shot, but any chance that you're available for an interview this morning? And he said, not this morning, but this afternoon, and we're off to the races. So it's a great day.
Nice.
And the lesson there is that you have to ask in order to get, and the worst that they can say is no.
Amen to that. That's great advice. Congratulations on that. And we'll link the interview once your video is live on this show, so then they can go see the enjoyment and excitement. But before we get into all that and the whole story, we have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. So, Mike, imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. What are you going to order, and where are you going to eat in order to make your day complete?
What am I going to order? So I guess I'm definitely, my birthday is coming up, so that's a pretty good day. And usually is the best day of my life because it's a gift. And so I always have pizookie on my birthday. You know what that is, right?
I don't. Please tell me.
Oh, you don't? It's a pizza cookie. Oh, man.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's like a chocolate chip, gigantic chocolate chip cookie, but like in pizza form with ice cream. I mean, it's amazing. And my wife makes that. It's delicious. It's like a super guilty pleasure indulgence. So I definitely would order that. And if I had to pick any place to eat it, I mean, I live in an incredibly beautiful part of the world in Santa Cruz, California. But I would, oh man, that's a good question. Where would I want to eat? Oh man, I would want to eat it someplace that has just like where you know where I'd want to eat it. I know exactly where I'd want to eat it. Actually, have you ever been to Yosemite? I
always wanted to go, but no.
Okay, so we go every year. It's amazing. It's never ceases to take my breath away. And I would want to eat it at one of the Glacier Point lookouts overlooking Half Dome and Nevada Falls and the valley floor, because it's incredibly beautiful, but more significantly, when you have like a great day and a great moment like that, you want time to stop. And that is a place where it is as if time stops, because things are moving so slowly, and you know, you'd be able to just take in God's beautiful creation while enjoying this amazing, delectable, delicious goodness called a pizookie.
That's a great answer, man. I love it. So now not only am I intrigued with what a pizza cookie actually is, and then the second thing is now I feel like I have to go to Yosemite. So
you do, man. I mean, like, it's honestly, I mean, it's one of the most incredible places in the world. I
No, I
mean,
believe
people
it.
from all over the world come every year. This year has been just insanely crowded because the waterfalls are on full tilt for the first time in several years because we don't have a drought.
Wow. No, it's interesting. Well, spoken like a true entrepreneur, you're a really good salesman. So you sold me on that. But without further ado, we have to sell the rest of the individuals that are listening, or at least educate the individuals that are listening. So, Mike, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
So I'm a second generation entrepreneur who swore that he would never join the family business, which is Flynn Wealth Strategies and Insurance Solutions, and I've been doing that for 13 years. And prior to that, I started my career in the public relations world before social media and all this craziness, and it was fun. It was very interesting work. We worked with some incredible brands, but I wanted to have a more significant impact. And I remember one time I was walking down Battery Street in San Francisco, and I just was feeling so unfulfilled. I called my fiance at the time, who's now my wife, and I said, "Lisa, I'm not going to do this. I need to do something that where I'm going to have a more significant impact in the lives of others." And so I thought about going to law school, and basically, that idea flew out the window pretty quickly when I realized how much it was going to cost and how much debt I would incur. And so then I thought about joining my family business. And I remember and recall the impact that my dad had had in the lives of his clients and in their families and businesses for years. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime." And he said, "What's that, Mike? How much money do you need?" And I said, No. I'm going to prove you right because you always said I would join the business someday, and now today is that day. I'm going to join the business." And so that was 13 years ago. It was an amazing start. It was in 2004 when I started. And so I guess it's more than 13 years at this point, but almost. It was just off to the races. 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007 were just great. Little did I know that the financial crisis was right around the corner. And when I joined the business, I had told my dad that I would only join the family business on one condition, that I would succeed or fail on my own. I wanted to develop my own book of business. We definitely could collaborate and work together, but I didn't want to, assume any of his previous business relationships. And he was like, "Well, that's good, because I wasn't going to give that anything to you anyway." So, he said it in a very loving way, but so 2008 rolls around and we have the financial crisis, and that was one of the most brutal experiences to go through, not just for myself, but for my clients. And I take what we do very personally. And I very and we can dive in a little bit deeper into this, but I definitely that was my blind moment for sure. Like, what the heck am I doing here? That was the biggest one. And I almost left the business. And in 2011, I went to a mastermind group of second generation advisors that I started, that I formed with another guy. And I went to that meeting in Seattle with the intention of telling everybody in that group that I was leaving the business. And that is when I met the author of that book, Kevin Hall. And that book actually is right here, because it's this book right here, Aspire. And it's an incredibly powerful book. And it's all about the power of our words. And words are incredibly important, because when we're not talking to other people, we're talking to ourselves in the quiet of our mind. And if we don't understand the words that we're using when we're having a conversation with ourselves, we could potentially be doing significant damage. So, for example, like when you say, God, when you say to yourself, "I feel discouraged," the meaning of that word, discouragement, is literally to take something away from your heart. So to encourage means to add to the heart. To discourage means to take from the heart. So when you're feeling discouraged, man, that's a big, big red flag. And oftentimes when we're in the quiet of our mind, struggling and hustling and things aren't going our way, or we're facing adversity, discouragement is something that definitely rears its ugly head. And it's really important for you and me and everyone to take control of the words that they use in their self-talk, because it will determine how quickly or slowly they turn the corner.
What are some ways that we can choose our words more carefully and make that impact, and having a concise answer or a precise way to talk? What are some techniques that you've used that have helped you?
So one of the things I talk about a lot is something I've developed called the Peak Performance Framework. And P stands for position, E for engagement, A for action, and K for kinetic. So let's just go to the E for a second, to engagement. And so we're going to use a technique that athletes and the military and all kinds of super high performing people use every day, and that is visualization. So engagement inspires words like focus and commitment and dedication. Well, in order to do that, in order to perform at a peak level, you have to do three things. You have to visualize, you have to be fully present, and then you have to reflect. And so when you visualize things, when you visualize what you want this interview, the outcome of this interview to be, right, you're going to take time before the actual event to picture and imagine in your mind's eye what you want the flow of the conversation to be, the questions you're going to ask, my responses, the impact and effect that you want it to have on your audience, how they're going to respond to it. You're also going to insert some adversity in there. Maybe the technology fails, Skype crashes. How are you going to respond to that? What are the words that you're going to use to yourself, you know, when that happens? Or you ask a question that ends up not making sense or whatever. So you're going to do that work in advance of whatever the event is. You can do it for a whole, you can do it, the visualization process, to imagine your whole day. You can do it by event. It doesn't necessarily, it's not, there's no exact prescription, but it's important to do it, to do the visualization. The second element of that is being fully present. So you've done the visualization. Now we're in this interview. And because you did that work up front, you are capable of being fully present in the interview, understanding what your objectives are, how you're going to respond if I answer a question differently than you anticipated, or the technology fails, or that hopefully the interview goes amazing, right? And you're going to be fully present because you did that work in the visualization process. Now, at the end of the interview, you're going to take about 10, 15 minutes and you're going to reflect. The word reflection means to bend back time and direct light or heat onto something. And so when you reflect, you're going to not only look at what just happened, what we just did in the interview, but you're also going to line that up with what you visualized happening and any adversity and how you responded. There is a great former psychiatrist and Holocaust survivor, author, amazing man named Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he said between the stimulus and the response lies a choice. And so when you are facing anything, be it good or bad, you have a choice to pause instead of just reacting to something, to pause and control your response. So one of the disadvantages that we have in this world is that we want immediate gratification, immediate results. And so we forget to pause a lot of times and reflect on what it is that we want to accomplish and what we've done and how well we've done it and how we can do it better next time. Does that answer the question?
No, that's a great answer. Several things come to mind when you answered the way that you did. And the first thing for me was, how did you learn all this? I feel as if that this isn't something that you came up with overnight. This isn't something that you believed in like a couple weeks ago or a month ago. This is a trained process, a trained thinking, a trained mindset. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? When do you have a can you even pinpoint a time of when you were like, you know what? I need to focus on this. I need to make an impact.
Well, the genesis was without really even knowing it at the time. For the you're talking specifically about the peak performance framework.
Your mindset in general. Your positive mental attitude, your ability to just be positive and think more clearly.
I've always wanted, as long as I can go back, I've always wanted to have an impact and to move people and to inspire people through music. At one point, I was an actor. There are all of these indicators that if I go back and I connect the dots, I've always wanted to inspire people and draw greatness out of people. In fact, I mean, going back to the day I was born, I didn't come into this world very easily. I was born 5 weeks early. I had a lot of issues, and my mom called me a fighter. So, I mean, obviously, and I was the second born kid in my family. So it was really scary for my parents. So, hey, from the date of birth, I inspired greatness and drew greatness and courage out of other people because my parents needed to believe that I was going to survive and not only survive but thrive. But I've always had this desire to move other people, to inspire other people, to lift other people up. And I haven't always like lived fully into that, you know, and I've let other people steer me in directions that they thought were good for me. And it took me off of that path. And I think that we really need to be aware of that. You know, Gary Vee always talks about self-awareness, but it's not just him. I mean, self-awareness has been a topic of conversation for everybody, for all humanity, for thousands of years, since the dawn of creation. I mean, you go look at the Bible. I mean, or any spiritual text talks about the importance of self-awareness. But the real turning point came for me in 2009 when we were in the middle of this financial crisis and I had blown up to 250 pounds from being in incredible shape. I had blown up to 250 pounds. My wife and I had two kids. I bent over to pick up my 18-month-old daughter's sippy cup on the ground and my back gave out. And I fell to the floor in excruciating pain. I was home alone with my two kids. I was stressed out, burnt out, overweight, not taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And here I am on the ground and my daughter is crying, not because her daddy's on the ground, but because I didn't get her sippy cup to her and I'm ruining little Einsteins now. And so I had to get my other daughter, my older daughter, to give me the phone to call my wife. No answer because my wife was at the gym. So I had to call my mother, who lived 10 minutes away at the time. She had to drive down and try to pick up her 250-pound son off the floor and take him to urgent care because at the time I didn't know my back was out. I was in so much pain I thought something worse was going on. And that was a real big turning point for me. That's where I began unknowingly, where I began to develop the peak performance framework. And from that point, my wife and I actually developed something that we call the six bridges to personal growth and well-being, which are faith, family, fitness, friends, finances, and fun. And it's all about living intentionally, looking at, someone just said to me in an interview recently, listen to your life. And so go back and reflect on your life and try to connect certain dots and live intentionally in those areas. And it's really critical for us to all be intentional about what we're doing on a daily basis with our relationships, be it personal or business, or just even the people that you encounter. My hat says Brace for Impact. It's the slogan of my show. I close out every introduction with bust out your pens and paper, take some notes, and brace for impact. Because when you encounter someone, Jonathan, when you and I meet today, one of three things is going to happen. We're either going to leave each other worse off than we were before we started talking today, which hopefully that's not the case. I don't think it will be. We're either going to leave each other off the same, so no change, no effect, right? Or something in our conversation is going to have such a tremendous impact on the other that it's going to modify or change the trajectory that we're both on, and hopefully your listeners are on. And if that's the case, then we need to brace for impact. And if that's the case, if we believe that, then we need to be prepared for every encounter with another human being that we might have that effect on them. So I'm cognizant of the fact that when I'm on the highway and I'm stuck in traffic and I'm frustrated, that the way I drive, the way I look at other people through the mirror, nasty or whatever, that impacts them, you know? And getting annoyed, getting frustrated, getting angry with other people doesn't really accomplish much. So I'm really focused and trying to be very intentional with my relationships, because that is what's going to move the needle in business and in life.
Yeah, and that's a great, great, great mindset, and I'm sure it's led you to such great success. My question is the business aspect of it as well. You have this mindset. You're the philosophy of bracing for impact and making an impact on other people's lives. How are you then able to translate that into a profitable business?
So, you know, we have my main business is the wealth management business, Flynn Wealth Strategies, and the Impact Entrepreneur platform launched, you know, in 2015. And, you know, the intent obviously was to monetize it, right? But that's what everybody else wants to do. You know, I think that that is the wrong way, like to focus on. It's not that making money or focusing on profitability is a bad question or a bad goal. It's just not the right first thing to think about. You know, it's not the right question to ask at the beginning. And so I had started the Impact Entrepreneur platform with the wrong question or with the wrong approach. Hey, how can I monetize this thing? And I still haven't monetized the Impact Entrepreneur platform. And that's coming, but it's coming only because I've been so focused on contributing, on adding value, on really truly reaching into the heart of another person, another human being, and sharing with them through story, through my interviews, that they are created to do more than they can possibly think for, ask, or imagine. And that if you even believe in that last statement just a little bit, then why not lean into it? And if you lean into it even just one degree, your life is going to change. And so I've been so focused on that. It's, you know, helping other people realize and develop their potential is a difficult thing to get people to pay for, right? Because it's something that's a very intangible thing. I mean, it's not like a, you know, doing Facebook ads or selling some sort of a hard product or whatever, you know. It's very intangible because it's subjective to how that person is feeling and the results that they're achieving. So your ability, my ability to inspire and draw your greatness out of you depends entirely upon how you execute. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
So in the, you know, the way I've done it in the financial services world is by helping people become the hero of their financial story. And so we break that down into a process. And so I'm now taking that same process that we've proven over on one side and bringing it over onto this other side, helping entrepreneurs and couples and, you know, executives really identify what their purpose is. And I believe that right now is the most important time to develop your purpose and to understand your potential, because there's a lot of people that are working right now that have their self-worth, their identity, their meaning is attached to their job, to their career. And in the next 20, 30 years, many of those positions are going to be eliminated because of something called artificial intelligence, which we know is coming. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. We're very far off from it, I believe, actually displacing and disrupting things entirely. But right now is the time to do the work.
Mm-hmm. And to that, your business in particular is very relationship building or relationship oriented. So one of the hardest things to do in business is to obtain a customer and develop that trust. It sounds as if that you don't have to do too much advertising for your business because of the relationships that you're making. What can we take with us today in order for us to make a stronger relationship with our current customers that will then allow us to have them refer us or even be able to introduce us to potentially new people?
Yeah, or do business with you on an ongoing basis, right?
Or not that just too, yeah, or extend a relationship.
So, you know, there's this old saying, you've probably heard it, I've heard it 1,000 times, that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know my clients and my, you know, I invest so deeply in my relationships with my friends, with my family, with my clients. They know I know them deeply. They know I love them. They know how much I care about their well-being and success, and they feel that. And, you know, I might have a suboptimal product, or there might be a product that could do exactly what I do out on the marketplace cheaper. But they're still going to choose to do business with me, not just because they like me, but because they know how much I care about them, their well-being, their potential, their legacy, their story, and what their purpose is. And I think that too many people are focused on the transaction. Too many people are focused on the outcome, closing a deal, the campaign, whatever it might be, that they lose sight of the meaning. And in order to generate word of mouth, which, you know, 90% of my business today in all my businesses comes from word of mouth. I do very little advertising. We are getting ready to potentially embark on some Facebook stuff. But you know, that's, we're still discerning whether or not we're going to do that. And it's a great time to really reflect on your process. If you're asking that question, you know, how can we dive deeper in a relationship, extend relationships, get referrals, introductions, whatever, you know, it comes down to that person saying, you know what, like, I know this, that Mike, I know that Jonathan, I trust them explicitly, and it would be doing a disservice for me not to connect them with, you know, my circle of influence. Yeah. And that's how we work. That's how we operate. And that's where you get the acceleration of business is through that, because people are already, number one, people are already pre-qualified, and number two, they already trust you to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to qualify them. And now you don't necessarily have to build as much trust or spend time building as much trust, because a trusted mutual resource has connected you.
Yeah, no, that's great. I want to change the conversation up a little bit to more of the personal aspect and less the business side. Habits are so critical. You've mentioned a few of them. already, and we talked a little bit off air, but what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
Yeah, I think it's Tim Ferriss who has said, "Win the morning, win the day." I'm not sure if that's his quote or if he was quoting somebody else, but it's so true. How you start the morning is going to dictate how the rest of the day goes for you. And so I get up early. My wife and I get up early. We have four kids, ages 11 and a half to six, and they're all in school, you know, full time. And so if we want to win the day, we have to get up early before the kids and have some time to ourselves. So we get up between 5 and 5:30, depending on, we do something called their circadian sleep rhythm. So, it's the optimal way to sleep. And so depending on where we are in that rhythm, we wake up between 5 and 5:30. I make my wife and myself some coffee every morning. And, then we get to a quiet place. She goes to one part of the house. I stay in our room and we have our personal prayer and meditation. And that is our time, our individual time, where we're just setting ourselves up for the day. We're having a conversation with ourselves. We're having a conversation with God. We're Christian. And, we are, you know, putting our petitions, our dreams, our hopes, our fears in God's hands, and also focusing our mind on what it is that we want to accomplish in that day. By 6:15, our kids are up, they're knocking on the door. The day is now begun. And if we didn't do that work in advance in that morning, sometimes, you know, having four kids, getting them ready for school, lunches, breakfast, out the door, carpool, I mean, it could be really chaotic. And then you end up sitting in traffic. And so if you don't do that work to set up your mind at the very beginning of the day, all your other habits are going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't done that foundational work. And so that is the most important habit that we've developed. And the other most important habit is exercising. You know, people often make the mistake of not taking care of themselves. One of the elements of being properly positioned for success is taking care of yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, then you can't take care of your spouse or significant other. If you can't take care of them, then you can't take care of your family. If you can't take care of your family, then you can't take care of your clients. So a lot of people think, oh gosh, by going to the gym or exercising, I'm being selfish. But in the reality, you are being selfless, because you're setting yourself up to be able to take care of the most important relationships in your life. If you don't do that work, you're going to get burned out. Relationships are going to get stressed. You need to do that work. And that's where that six bridges comes in: faith, family, fitness, finances, friends, and fun. You got to work in all of those areas. Now, some of those areas are going to be bigger than others, right? Some of those areas, you might be, you know, in peak physical, and so you don't have to spend a lot of time honing the fitness area, but maybe your fun, maybe you're not having any fun. You're working, you're hustling, you're grinding. And maybe that is an area that you need to really develop. So I actually have a tool that we created that I'll give to your audience. If they go to theimpactentrepreneur.net/scorecard, they can download a scorecard I created, as well as the six bridges to personal growth and well-being. And they can use that as a tool to measure how properly positioned for success they are.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely appreciate that, and the fans will definitely and the listeners will enjoy that as well. Resources, the scorecard is definitely going to be one of them. But is there any other piece of resources or technology that you use every single day that you can't live without?
I use Evernote. Evernote is critical. I use it for preparing for my interviews. I'm in the process of writing a book, so I use that not only for where I'm writing my chapters, but also storing my thoughts that are related to the book. I use it to store my CrossFit exercises and metrics. You know, Michael Hyatt refers to it as his digital brain. It's very much that. So I'd say that's probably the most important resource from a business point of view. From a personal point of view, I discovered this thing called AnyList. One of the most annoying things for my wife, for me, is when my wife asks me to go to the grocery store and then I don't know where anything is and I end up calling her like a dozen times and I'm all over the place. It's like the grocery store or Costco, or those are my like nightmare places. And so I discovered this app that updates in real time and it organizes the list by category, and we use it religiously now, and it's saved our marriage. Let me tell you that.
That's awesome. Well, definitely, we got to link that then. If it saves marriages, I mean, man, yes. that's some serious stuff. So, yes.
One other thing, okay, that is really helpful is an app called Commit to Three. So a lot of people they have goals, dreams, visions that they want to achieve, but the end goal, the thing that they visualized, is so big or daunting that they get paralyzed and they don't take action. And so there's this great app called Commit to Three, and it's free if you're going to use it individually. And if you want to have an accountability partner, you have to pay a $3 or something. But you can list three commitments that you're going to do every day, check those off, and measure your progress. You know, that's also a really great app for people who just need to get started.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, and we've all been there, and that's that feeling of being blind. You get lost. You get lost in your own head, and especially in business. And that leads me to my final question. The Blind Entrepreneur Podcast is the blind entrepreneur is an individual that may be temporarily blind in business and cannot see the obvious. They may be stuck in a particular space. So what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
So someone who's feeling blind or stuck is probably doing something by themselves. The last part of the peak performance framework is kinetic. So again, P stands for position, E for engagement, A for action, K for kinetic. And the idea behind that is that we're only going to be so successful by ourselves, right? And when we're struggling, we're going to struggle twice as much. It has an inverse relationship. So when you're doing something by yourself, you're only going to be so successful and productive. Now, if you collaborate with other people, on the plus side, your productivity is going to go up exponentially, right? But if you are struggling and you're doing something by yourself, your struggle is also going to feel more exponential because you're alone. And so the first piece of advice that I would give is find a mentor. They don't even need to have been where you've been necessarily, or where you're going necessarily. They just need to be on the path with you, and they need to have maybe a little bit more insight than you. Maybe they're one step ahead of you. They don't necessarily need to have summited Mount Everest, but maybe they need to be at a different base camp than you on the way. Okay. So some people make the mistake of trying to find a mentor who's already been there and done it. I think that that's a missed opportunity a lot of cases, and people miss out on relationships. The other thing I would say that people should do, the piece of advice, is definitely going back to putting yourself first, your health, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. You know, you got to take care of yourself. I was just talking to a very successful entrepreneur the other day, and you know, she said right away that she's not taking care of herself. She's crushing it business-wise, but she's not taking care of herself physically. And if she's at some point, that's going to catch up. And so her productivity, her ability to serve her community, is going to go down because she is going to get sick, burnt out, tired, whatever, right? And so that's number two. The third piece of advice I would say is get off social media. I mean, like, you know, like unplug. put your phone away. Read an actual book. Like, don't download a book. Go get a paper book. Put that book in your hand and feel the paper, because there is a kinetic muscle memory thing with reading a book, and books are incredibly powerful and can not only shape your mind and heart, but also influence the way that you deliver value to your community.
Those are great pieces of advice. Because you mentioned books, is there anything that we must read, in your
Well,
opinion?
two books,
Aspire,
Aspire,
right? Mm-hmm.
right? That one. And then Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And there's another great book called The Happiness Advantage. I have so many books that I could recommend. I mean, there are so many great books out there. Another book that's a non-fiction book, so it's not a self-help book, but it's called Endurance, and it's about Ernest Shackleton, who was one of the world's foremost explorers when the world was still being mapped, like by physically mapped by ships and people sailing around and charting the ocean and charting islands and things of that nature. Sir Ernest Shackleton had to chart Antarctica, and he and 28 crew members got stuck down there for over 500 days, and all of them survived. And it's a really powerful story, not only of actual proverbial endurance, but their boat was actually named Endurance, and the boat got crushed, but they survived, you know.
Interesting.
And so the human spirit is an incredibly powerful thing. Another nonfiction book that talks about the human spirit is Unbroken, about Louis Zamperini. Incredible story that was also made into a movie, but the movie only tells the first half of his life.
Well, good stuff all around. And I want to link all of them so other people can read those books too. So, Mike, without further, well, Mike, you successfully completed the podcast. So congratulations to you, sir. The next 30 seconds is 100% yours. Feel free to promote everything you have going on in your life, how people can be a part of your journey, your mission, and potentially even a customer.
Sure. So I'd love for people to go to theimpactentrepreneur.net. They can, enter their email and subscribe there. They can go to theimpactentrepreneur.net/scorecard and download those resources I mentioned. Of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and all of those places. And you can actually go to my website, go to the podcast page on my website, and at the top of any episode show notes page are going to be links to icons to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And if they click on that, they can subscribe. Also, if they're looking at on their mobile device, when they type in one of those pages, at the top of the website on their phone will be a little like app icon that will pop up, and it'll ask people to click on it and subscribe. They can subscribe that way if they're on an iPhone. If they want to check out what we're doing on the financial side, they can go to flynnwealthstrategies.com. Check that out, and we're happy to serve people. We do have a particular client profile that we're looking for, but if people want to email me, ask questions, I'd be happy to do that.
Awesome. Mike, again, thank you guys. Thank you so much, Mike. And to everybody that is still watching and listening, thank you for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Everything you heard today will be in the show notes. And to watch more videos just like this one, head over to theblindentrepreneur.com. Being blind in business is temporary. I hope that after listening to the wisdom of Mike, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Everyone, have a great rest of your day.
Peace.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.